So in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, the Lord thy God hath chosen thee. He said, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now that's an incredible thing to you and I, because if you're chosen of God, if God has chosen you, he's chosen you and I over all the people on the face of the earth. You can read the next verse. And he said, they were the fewest in number. God's not a respecter of people. You would think in the natural, in the case of Jacob and Esau, that God would have chosen Esau. He was a good old boy. Today he might have been a cowboy. He might have been a hunter. He might have been a fisherman. And Jacob was some old poor car salesman like me. And he chose Jacob. So the fact that we are a chosen people. And so the question of God is, who's in charge? Does man or God decide who goes to heaven? This kind of goes, we preached a couple weeks ago, the Son of Man. Does God, I've always said, if God allowed man to decide who goes to heaven, I probably wouldn't want to be there. And I don't think you'd want to be there either. We're finding out what happens when you let other people, when you let men decide who's allowed in our country. What if somebody, can you imagine if they let a man decide who could live on your property or live in your house, somebody other than you? God's much too sovereign for such a thing. So does God choose man, or does man choose God? Do you ever thought about that? Because the churches today, it's always about, choose God. Choose God. Well, I chose. Well, did you really? Let me say, if I chose God, it's because one reason only, he first chose me. That is the only way I could possibly choose God. Just like the Bible says in 1 John, he says, because he first loved me. Now, that may sound strange. You may think, well, you love God first, but you didn't. If you love God, the only reason you truly love God is because he first loved you. And if I truly had the innate ability to so-called choose God, wouldn't that in essence make me God? Or larger, or of more significance or power than God? See, when you parse words, when you parse sentences, when you actually look at the things, words mean things. It's like, it'd be like saying, I had the choice to be born. And I had the choice to be born to the parent. You didn't. You can't possibly go to Jesus. And the Bible bears this out in John 6, 44 and 65. I think we should look at that the Father draws. Because it's the Bible that counts in John chapter 6. When I preached in the jails for years, I tell those, except God draw you. Except God draw you. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. You cannot come to the Father unless he draws you. He said, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And then if you look at verse 65, the same chapter, John 6, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. I mean, that's clear. That's why I don't believe in what the church today calls the rapture. Because Jesus said that man will be raised up when? The last day. I believe in the second coming. I believe Jesus is coming back. But I don't believe there's going to be some superficial or supernatural act where we're going to all be caught up and whisked away, and then others are going to be, I did. But that's another sermon for another time. And if you believe, it's because if you believe, belief is a gift. It's because God gave. I might ask the Armenian, the people that believe, oh, I've got a free will. Yeah, really? How'd that work out for you? I was one of those kids, I couldn't wait to get away from home. You know, most of you, I hated school. I just despised going to school. I thought it was the biggest, it wasn't a waste of time now, or we wouldn't be having this an intelligent conversation. But, well, maybe it's an intelligent conversation. But anyway, I wanted to get away because I knew I could get away and go to work and I'd make money and I could do on my own. You know, and probably the first thing I did was go buy they didn't have tubs then. I'd go over to the 7-Eleven or whatever they had in those days. You know, general store with horse and mules. But anyway, in those days, I'd go and I'd save my money, and you could buy a tube of Pillsbury chocolate chip cookie dough. And I figured out that was better than a Payday candy bar, and that's what I had for breakfast every morning. It was a Payday candy bar and RC Cola. So you can tell by my health. And so I'd get that chocolate chip cookie dough. Man, I got a free will now. I can eat all the cake icing and all the cookie. What happened? Yeah, it didn't work out so well. I tried that with partying, too. It didn't work out so well either, you see. So this idea of free will, if you have a free will, who gave it to you or how did you get it? Turn over to Romans chapter 8. My favorite chapter, we've got some folks that haven't listened before. My favorite chapter, my favorite book in the Bible, those of you know me, is Romans, the book of Romans. I'm a Roman. That's what I am. And my favorite chapter in the book of Romans is chapter 8. It's just, I could read Romans 8 every day. I could just read it and read it. So Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then you look over in Romans chapter 9, verse 11, and he's talking about Jacob and Esau. We mentioned them. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, and that's extremely important. It speaks volumes. These children are in the womb, and they haven't done good or evil. They haven't done anything. Whatever kids do in the womb, I don't remember. That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand not of works, but of him that calleth. Now in Ephesians 2, we're not going to turn there, but it's clear he said we were dead in trespasses and sins. Ye who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead and without Christ. Dead men can't choose to live. It's like, kind of like walking on water. An old preacher told me one time, he said, I can walk on water. We were having lunch and we were looking at the lake and he said, I can walk on water. And I looked at him, I thought, man, what a crazy old man. He said, if God tells me to. So if you think you can walk on water, call me. I'd like to see that thing and we'll go out there, you see. And you give that a try and see how that works out for you. The children of God. We're talking about the children of God. Who we are and who they are. You know, we just saw that. They just had however many, 15 to 17,000 Haitians under a bridge. Melissa said this morning that, where'd they all go? Well, to a city near you. Okay. I don't know whose children they are. I don't know if some of those people are Christians or not. I don't know that. But I do know that God said, he said in the book of Acts that he set the boundaries and the nations of men. He divided them and he set them separate. Who are the children of God? Did you choose to be your natural parent's child? I'm asking you. No, you did not. You think God wouldn't have more care than that? Be more precise than that. Romans 8:14, if you know it. Do you know Romans 8:14? For many that are led by the Spirit of God, those that are led by the Spirit of God, who are they? They are the sons of God. I had this thought. I knew it, but it's something you don't think about. Sometimes I'm out in the spa and I look up at the sky at night. And there's this one particular star that always, and right when it gets dark enough, I see that first, that's the first star I see. And I had forgotten it's actually a sun. Did you know that? The stars are actually suns, not like the sun and the sun, but they're actually suns. Now, it may seem this morning that I'm arguing or preaching for election or predestination. And I've made a really good case for it because the Bible authenticates it. But I'm not. Because I've been doing this so long, I'm past all that. I am past all that, you see. I'm simply declaring God, who God is. Moses asked God, well, who do I tell him sent me? And this is so important, and it's something that's just glossed over. People just go, God, you remember what God told Moses? He said, I am. I am that I am. And if you truly know God, then you know that no one, and I mean no one, would willingly choose the God of this Bible. You think they would, but that's not the God of this Bible, you see. There is no way on earth that a natural man, a man lost in trespasses and sins, would ever choose the God of this Bible. They only choose the make-believe God of their mind, the one who is as they would have him to be. Now, time and depth would prevent me from expounding on the God of this Bible this morning. But if you truly know him, then you already know of whom I speak. The great Jehovah Jireh, God Almighty, the great I Am. There's a natural truth that some of us know. And as concerning things like politics and world events, and most of us, I don't think there's anybody I'm preaching to that's not what we would call to the right, whatever that means, whichever way right is. Okay? And so we have these beliefs, and we're all pretty much as I've spoken with all of you. We're all pretty much of the same mind. And so we think, do we not see and others do not? Turn to Matthew chapter 13. That's what I was thinking of, Jeff, a while ago. Had that in my notes. And Matthew chapter 13, very telling verse. Jesus preaches to a whole crowd of folks, and I guess he forgot to give an altar call. But anyway. And then he looked at the apostles, and he said, verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Well, you might say in the natural, our eyes and ears are blessed because you look at AOL or the left or whoever these people are, and you think, they really believe that? They really believe that? You know why? Because they don't see what we see. They don't hear what we hear, you see? And as sure as Paul's eyes were opened by Ananias on a street called Straight in the book of Acts, so are those that are called of the Lord. As the one born blind from birth, I've always said it's the it's the best testimony. I think it's the best testimony, one of the best testimonies in the Word of God. And they said, well, how do you see this fellow was born blind from birth? He said, look, all I know is whereas I was blind, now I see. And that's it, you see. Whereas I was blind, now I see. Now I'm going to read to you some notes that I had made. And I said, well, Lord, what am I going to do with these notes? And then a couple, yesterday morning, I believe it, long before the sun came up, and he told me what I was going to do with them. I'm going to read them to you. Are the churches today, now listen, this is kind of an aside, but are the churches today like the vaccine? You're all familiar with the vaccine, I hope. Must we have boosters all the time? And now they're talking about more boosters, and now they're talking an infinite number of boosters. Well, man, if I was a vaccine salesman, this would be great. I got in the wrong business. And that's the way the churches have become. Well, now we have this, and now we have this, and then they get the big screen, then they get the coffee shop. Well, now we have this, and now we have this, and well, we got to get modern, and now we have this. Well, are they really the body? Are they really the body of Christ? Are they just, see, we're here this morning. Are we truly the body of Christ? Or are we just a religious gathering? I say that because where's the Spirit? Where's the Holy Ghost? You know, it's kind of like I think of now everybody wears, I don't wear one, not going to wear one. They wear a mask. And so the Baptists, they got their mask. And Kelly will tell you, the Lutherans, they've got their mask. I was raised Lutheran Baptist or Baptist Lutheran or whatever. And the Methodists, they have their mask and on and on and on. Everybody's got their mask. These are the masks we wear. And then you got these noted men like John MacArthur and others, and they're on the radio. And I've given thought to some of their dogma and doctrine. Do they really know the Lord? Just because a man speaks this way, does he really, really know the Lord? You should know that about me. Are all those that are in these church buildings, do they really know the Lord? Have they truly, truly ever been born again? Are they really new creatures in Christ or, now hear it, just educated creatures? Because you can learn a lot from education. I guess I did, but somebody did, you see. So which Baptist church did Cornelius make a profession in? You see? Or any of the apostles for that matter? Did God require a formal setting that Cornelius be saved? Or you or I? It was Peter in Cornelius' house. That's why we sold the big church building and we're meeting back here. Back where we started 20 some odd years ago. God actually took me out of all that. And the fruits I saw in the so-called church were but, it mentioned in Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 through verse 22, they really were but the ordinances, the commandments, and the doctrines of men. And if you ask somebody today about knowing the Lord, you know what your answer is going to be? It's going to be some church they go to about some ordinance, commandment, or doctrine. And thus church really became, which rules do you follow? Which rules do you guys follow? Well, at our school we do this. At our school we do this. At our dealership we do this. At our ranch we do this. Which rules do you follow? And so do you get these answers? These are our rules. Well, these are our rules. Well, these are our rules, and so on, etc. You see? And like I preached many years ago, lap after lap around Mount Seir, like the Exodus. The way of the Edomites, the way of the Canaanites, round and round. The way of Cain and his offering. Do you remember? God didn't respect Cain's offering. The way of the Christian is straight, not round and round. And boy, I can remember being involved with these churches when I first came to the Lord and young preacher man, and I'm out there. And man, I'd look at Brother Philip or somebody and go, haven't we been here before? We're going round and round. Haven't we been there? Haven't I heard this before? Round and round. And now I'll pull up a church service. I could do it right now. We could pull up a church service and I'd hear that round and round, man. I go, man, I heard that 40 years ago. Round and round. Man, that guy hadn't changed his sermon in 40 years. Round and round. Round and round. This is what we do. Most of you know me. You know I'm Greek. And I'll never forget, you know, the Greek Orthodox told me, they took me to the Holy of Holies and took me in the church. And he said, well, are y'all sort of like Catholics? And he said, oh, no, man, they're wicked idolaters. They have statues. And in the same breath, he goes, we have icons. You see? So yeah, they got statues. We got icons. And that holds true in the Baptist church, in the Methodist church, and so on and so forth. You see, round and round. In geometry, And I know this well because I had to take geometry 3 times. And if the football coach hadn't taught it the 3rd time, I'd still be in geometry. That a line is a series of points, right? Y'all remember that? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. In Christianity, there are no points. It's infinite. No beginning, no end. With a point, you have to have a beginning or an end. So why must we always place boundaries on God? Or here, those that serve him. We're either the sons of God or we are not. Now, back to the word. I'll never forget, a long time ago. A long time ago, over 50 years ago, being chosen. Now, I've already told you my academic credentials. Being chosen to go to the United States Air Force Academy. An incredible thing. Out of nowhere, they take a group of us who already had orders. This is during the Vietnam War. And my whole group of cadre of guys, we had orders for Korea. And they line us up in front like a beauty contest or whatever. They just line us up, a lineup, be better, more like it. What sure wasn't beauty. And they chose 6 men to go to the Air Force Academy. Here I am, I finished high school by osmosis. I mean, I'm telling you. A guy that they wouldn't even let in the Air Force. They had to lose my police record to get me in there. You know, I was a star pupil. And they chose me to go to the Air Force Academy. And that's nothing compared to being chosen by God, but it was an astounding thing. It was in the natural. It was incredible. And then I got to thinking, or was it natural at all? Was it natural at all? You see, can the natural be separated? I got a good post from KK this morning, Krista Kelly. And she said, man, I'm glad it's already decided. Me too, sister. You have no idea. Can the natural actually be separated from God? Is there really a separation? Is there anything actually, can you think of anything that's actually really natural? Wouldn't that in some way deny God? And no, he's not the author of sin, but he did place that tree in the garden, did he not? Tree of the knowledge of good. He said, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he placed it right in the center of the garden. Was he surprised by Adam's fall? No. When was Christ crucified? You go 2,000 years ago. Well, yes, physically, but in essence, in truth, a truth that we don't have an understanding of, the Bible says that he was crucified, the Lamb crucified when? Before the foundation of the world. Do you know when the Bible says he chose you and I? It's in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Before the foundation of the world. Do you know that he says that you and I were in Christ before the foundation of the world? You want to tell me about it? I don't remember. I don't either. Want to tell me about being in the womb? I don't remember. I don't either. Want to tell me about the moment you were born, came out of that womb? I don't remember. I don't either. Well, then how do you know that you were? Because I'm here. Here I am. So I don't know that we speak of things that we don't know. Because I'm not sure there is a natural. You see, or maybe you don't. You know, either the Lord thy God hath chosen thee, or he had. And if you belong to him, you better get right. If he's your father, you better get right. And I don't have to expound on that. They do. They put on their church mask. Take that. This is the vaccine you need and you'll be right with God. I don't know what's going to make you right with God. any more than you know what's going to make me right with God. What you have to do and what I have to do may be two different things. Ask Moses. Ask Jonah. Because if he called you to go to Nineveh, well, you know, and then they go, oh, the Great Commission, we're to go out throughout all the world. Well, hadn't one of you done that? He didn't call me to go throughout the whole world. But that's a mask. That's a vaccine. Oh, you got it, preaches well. You see? So you either see or you don't. And that's why there's no private. The Bible says that his word, this Bible, is not of any private interpretation. It can't be. It can't be. Now, let me say something here. I thought about this. I'm going to say it. You either agree with me or you're wrong. Amen. Should get a bunch of amens. You either agree with me or you're wrong. Because I'm right. And I know I'm right. I don't think I'm right. I don't believe I'm right. I know I'm right. And you better give that some thought about your life. Because either you can make the same claim or you cannot. You see, the Lord thy God hath chosen thee. Now, there's quite a few verses here, but they're worth reading. We're going to end with this. You go to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Paul said, my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Boy, that guy will never get a job. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's all I'm interested in. That's all I'm interested in doing this morning, demonstration of Spirit and power. That the Spirit of God would permeate you and you would know that this be true. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them, look, that are perfect. Wow. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that came to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And we do. And that's why folks don't get it. You know why they don't get it? They're not meant to get it. Their eyes are closed. Their ears are closed. It's up to God who gets it. And if you get it, you should be on your face crying out and thanking God. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained when? Before the world, unto our glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. You ever think about why they get... What a deal. They crucify God. He never committed a sin. Never committed a crime. He never did anything to anybody. And they crucified him. But as it's written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things. Sorry, my phone did something. Heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them. Now look. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Now that's natural. But who gave that natural spirit? Where'd that thing come from? Came from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Who put the tree of knowledge? God's not the author of sin. Don't. Misinterpret what I'm saying. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we, boy, I like that, we, you and I, have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's one of the key verses of this whole book. And it's a key verse of the preaching that I've done for years and years. When God revealed to me, he told me to preach. And then I preached and preached and nobody was getting it. Natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because that's up to God who gets it. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, oh, you remember the verse, oh, don't judge. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now look how Paul ends it. But we, you and I, if you're in Christ, if you've been born again, not because you're a Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Pentecostal, Catholic, but we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Now, I've got some scriptures here I was going to read. I'm not going to read them because most of you, I texted them to you. And if I didn't yesterday, text me and I will send those to you. Okay? But I want to say, to me, this is a glorious light. And it's as plain as everything I'm looking at right now. This truth, this light. And there's no pride involved in it at all. Anymore. Do you have pride because you were born to your parents? No. I had nothing to do with it. Just like those Jews. He said, would you think you'd want to choose those Jews? They were the most ungrateful critters. I mean, poor Moses had to lead those people across the desert with not only the Jews, but a mixed multitude, and none of them paid attention to him. They all gave him a hard time. But it's God's business. It's God's business. Are you God's business?